Hi, everybody. Good morning. Just a quick remark before starting. In parallel to this talk, in Sal 2, there will be the Jekyll's Applebaum second part of Sysadmins of the World Unite. There have been some problems with the schedule, so it is not going to be displayed probably, but in this room instead, we are going to have Hacking the Tech Parliament with SMS done by this art collective, Tech Art Collective, which in collaboration with some security experts hacked the government. Well, the stage is yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Is this thing on?
Thank you. Bravo.
Can you hear me? Yeah, great. So we are really excited that we are here, and we are even more excited that you are here at 11:30. So welcome. We are Stohoven, Juraj Bednar, Pavel Luptak, and Petr Žilka. Some of these names may be fake. And we want to blow your mind first by doing some explosion for the mind. So let's see if this works out. There's no sound. There is. Okay.
Vysílání České televize napadli hackři. Napojili se do živého vysílání panoramatických záběrů s informacemi o počasí na programu ČT2 a simulovali v nich výbuch atomové bomby.
Svůj čin vysvětlují tak, že chtěli simulací atomového výbuchu upozornit na manipulaci s realitou v médiích.
Hackři se přes svůj počítač připojili zřejmě k této kameře a iluzi atomového hřibu vytvořili do černé.
OK. Thanks. So this is one of the older projects of Stohoven. We try to figure out how people perceive reality that's presented by the media. And we also found out the hard way that our cell phones are not pretty safe. So everyone who had a cell phone during that prank on and on their own identity appeared in this nice room and had a short discussion with a judge. So we try to avoid this problem with later projects. And the later project was called Citizen K. It was actually about identities and exchange of identities. So we were researching absurdities of our society that tries to cope with identity issues of their citizens. And we found out that it is not easy to go to jail without a valid national ID card. They actually require the ID card if you want to, or not want, but yeah, in this case, the guy wanted to go there. And so this was a direct follow-up to the problem with the identity tracking. And what the group did is there were 12 guys. They took pictures with the same haircut and in black t-shirts. And they used computer morphing software to create identities or pictures with significant facial features of both of the photos. And then few years ago in Czech Republic, when you wanted to apply for an ID card, you needed to bring your own photo. So they applied for the ID card using the other guy's identity. So these are the meta identities. And then the members of the group were trying to live for a few months under the other guy's identity, which was pretty interesting. For example, on this picture, of course, the question is where the lady sleeps at night, which bed. And okay, so there was a wedding, and the guy on the left wanted to marry the girl, but he didn't have his ID card, so they were exchanged. So he was the best man on his own wedding, because you need to show your ID card if you want to marry someone. And the other guy was, he was actually standing there and married. So, yeah, he doesn't look very happy. They also applied for gun permit, traveled to London. London is outside of the Schengen area, so you actually have to use your ID card. So this proves that the new exchange identity worked outside of the Schengen area. So it worked out. And the basic idea here is about exploring identities and how they relate to us. And there are some problems, of course. So it's about exploration. And also changing your identity means, or exchanging your identity with someone means that you need to bear a bigger responsibility for him, because the other guy could apply for loans in your name and so on. And it didn't work out very well. For example, the marriage is still not invalidated, even though it was shown that it was not done correctly. So there are no safeguards in the system. That means that they basically assume that it's working well, and if it's not working well, then there are kind of no backup scenarios. So, go on.
So, hello.
Yeah, you are
okay. Okay, William, thanks. So, how we met and how the project called Moral Reform started exactly? Me and Juraj, we are not typical artists. We are IT geeks, and maybe 2 years ago, we met with the other guys from our group Stahoven at one conference focused on IT freedom against internet censorship. At this conference, I showed to the other members of Stahoven that how easy it's to send SMS text message with a spoofed caller ID. In the past, we all knew that it's quite easy to send spoofed text messages with an arbitrary source number. But these guys, they realized how that there is a huge potential for another project, and that was exactly how our new project called Moral Reform started. About our group, I would like to say that we are a very crazy combination of many people from many different fields, especially artists and also hackers, and some of us also have some legal background. And thanks to our diversity, we are able to make really interesting projects. So.
Yeah, it was interesting when we met Pavel and Juraj. They simply showed us something that is totally basic for them. They showed us how the SMS spoofing works. It means that you send SMS from your number to whatever number to another's, and this SMS seems to be sent from number you want. And we got fascinated with this technology, and since the moment we have learned about the SMS spoofing, we had in our minds just using it as a direct interference into politicians' communications. I think it shows a lot about some general frustration, which is widespread in our country. And the frustration grows from corruption, unpunished malpractice in administration of our country, and so on. We have discussed for a long time different scenarios of the actions, And we have also consulted it with ex-top politicians who revealed us the details of how the parliamentary organization and communication structure works. And we were getting closer and closer, and during the painful process of searching for the final concept of the new action, a view of parliamentary drama had crystallized in front of our eyes. Combined, I may say heterogeneous or disjunct words, moral reform has become the main thought of the action. In Czech Republic, where the term reform have been abused, and in many ways, we put it in totally different contexts, and proposed reform, which cannot come from outside because our morality is absolutely intimate and individual. And we have decided to create an ambivalent image of an atypic ideal political world by means of an absurd drama. Each SMS we sent from one politician's number to another seemed like to be sent from all the members of parliament, government, and also the president's Václav Klaus number to another's, and it created a new reality of communication, and each SMS represented a line, one of the lines of the drama. A great opportunity to do the action was provided to us by preparing of live broadcast of defending parliamentary speech of one MP who was accused of corruption. And during the 2 hours of broadcast, we have sent 585 SMS or messages containing the moral reform. Now we would like to show you a short video where you can see a record from the first moment where the broadcast of the broadcast where we have realized that we are in real direct communication and interaction with the parliament. Leave it. Continue.
Yeah. And so this is the Czech parliament, and yeah. This is the speech of some politician.
Yeah. Here on the right, you can see Karolina Pík, who is vice prime minister, or who was vice prime minister, and on the left, sleeping minister of foreign affairs, Karel Schwarzenberg, who is already sending a message to Karolina Pík.
Dne 14. května roku 2012 ve 20 hodin 30 minut. Téhož dne v noci převzala předsedkyně poslanecké sněmovny oznámení krajského státního zastupitelství v Ústí nad Labem.
Still sleeping, by the way.
O zadržení poslance.
Pretty interesting to send the text from your dream.
Odevzdání soudu. Příloha tohoto dokumentu obsahovala část spisového materiálu policejního orgánu.
This is normal boring politician talking, so we didn't subtitle it.
14. května letošního roku vyslovila předsedkyně poslanecké sněmovny podle článku 27 odstavec 5.
And here is the message that Karel sent to Karolina during the short moment, as you can see. Observing the current political situation, I realized that I cannot continue this way anymore. We have to do something significant, something that will fundamentally change our society.
Here you can see our members during the action.
Pavel is right there, and by the way, you can see. I thought he has foreseen that maybe he will be presenting it here because he was wearing during the action the CCC T-shirt.
I just like CCC T-shirts, and this is just pure coincidence that I had this T-shirt during this. Action.
Yeah. What was the reaction of media?
This action was accepted by media quite positively. And many themes were opened, beginning with the need of such a moral reform in contemporary politics, until the critics of abusing the telephone numbers. And there were also some security questions that arised, and maybe Pavel could tell you more about it.
After this event, there were a lot of conspiration theories in Czech medias. For example, that Czech parliament is monitored and sniffed by a special secret agency or special secret program, and a lot of other conspiration theories, but we just used stupid SMS text message with the spoof caller ID. So, firstly, I would like to explain how spoof text messages work exactly. It's similar like SMTP communication, like email communication. So it's possible to change or to modify from address like sender, and change it to something completely different. In European Union, it's prohibited to offer such services, but we used the service outside of European Union, and there are a lot of other services in the US, for example. Probably the most difficult part of this project was how to achieve anonymity, because during this project we were not sure that we really want to publish everything, and how we achieved the anonymity. Yuraj will tell something about it.
Yeah. So first, we are all huge fans of Bitcoin, so we thought that we just use a Bitcoin-based gateway. There was fortunately one called TXT4Coins. But we figure out that it won't allow us to send so many messages. So there's a limit of addresses that are used for payment. And after 20 or so messages, it says, sorry, I need a system administrator to add new addresses. You can't send any more messages. So we had to do it the hard way. I don't know if you try to launder and anonymize money online, but it's really difficult. So we were playing with prepaid cards and everything, and we were trying to find a gateway that accepted some form of anonymous payment. What we found out eventually is that the easiest thing is to buy a prepaid SIM card, top up the credit with cash. In Czech Republic, by the way, you can buy a prepaid SIM card without revealing your identity. So it's completely anonymous. You just go to a supermarket or a normal store and you get a SIM card and it works. You just activate it. So we did that. Also, everyone, of course, left their phones at home near the bed. We were all sick and sleeping, according to the cell towers. And but we still had to test if our scripts are working. So during the night before the event, some of us had to drive the bike to some very anonymous location, turn the phone on, and see if it received the fake SMS and so on. So we had to test it this way. We found out that it's really difficult to achieve real anonymity, and there's always some risk that we will be revealed. It turns out that the reaction was quite positive, so we decided to basically reveal our identities. And here's a walkthrough of the website that was released a few days after the event. So this is how it looked like. It's still online, so you can check it out. That's the structure of the parliament. The colors are the political parties. On the bottom are journalists, and then there's government and presidential castle or office. And here are the texts. We translated them to English for you. So you can see all the text messages and the extracted structure of parliament, how they communicate with the press and so on. So here's the president of the republic, and all these people were basically the actors of the drama. Here's the timeline, so you can see how the messages were sent. So that's the whole script. And I really like the last text that came from the president's office to journalists, calling an urgent meeting of heads of all parliamentary parties on acceptation of moral reform, and it will be held after today's MP's meeting. And yeah, he basically invited all of them to the castle. So that was the first part that was quite positively accepted, and here comes the second part.
Yeah. After the first parliamentary round, we have analyzed all the media and also public and politicians' reaction for our action, and we were quite sad of it, because worsening political and social situation and also increasing mistrust to our political representative in our country led us to an idea of a simple multiple meaning and penetrative act in frame of a collective political art exhibition in Center for Contemporary Art DOCS in Prague. We have exposed complete list of parliament, government and presidential telephone numbers and their names. The gallery installation was a great platform to try to cross the borders of normal understanding what an art installation is or can be. And I think we succeed, because what followed was totally unexpected for us. For 1 week, every day, main political newscasts brought new information about publication of numbers and new circumstances which were continuously arising concerning all the action.
Here's the phone number of the ex-Czech president, by the way.
Yeah. Media, public, and most of politicians simply did not get it. The media image of the action was reduced to information that the politicians' numbers were published, and the politicians were since then heading the blackmailing and menaces. The Office of Personal Data Protection was also investigated whether publishing of telephone numbers is or is not breaking of personal data protection. And finally, they stated that it's not, so any interrogation did not continue. And but what was wrong, what was said for us was that nobody cared about the manifesto and the context of the gallery, and also the final view of the installation, because what we wanted to pose the viewer into the middle of kind of address book of the most influential lobbyist in the country, and appear for a while in their skin and be able to directly communicate with politicians through the telephone hanging there, which everybody could use to send whatever message he wanted to whatever number from the wall. But all the media created their own stories, and yeah, and finally one of the reporters called us cowards that we publish others' numbers and hide our own. Immediately we have published our numbers on our websites, and here you can see our numbers now, which we are using.
Feel free to text us.
Yeah, and we would like to thank you. This is final of this lecture, and now we would be happy to hear any questions from you.
Thanks.
Yeah, microphone four.
How did you get a hold of those numbers, all the politicians in the first place? I assume they're not just like giving them out in the Yellow Pages?
Yeah, I can give you a very honest answer without revealing much. I don't know, and we decided not to reveal, so I'm sorry, but it's possible to get them.
What we can say, and it was interesting that lots of the numbers, of course not all of them, but lots of the numbers, we were able just to Google, because lots of the MPs are some representatives of several firms or companies, and in connection with their own business, they sometimes publish their own numbers. And there are also politicians, a few of them, who publish their numbers without any problems, but it's rare.
Thank you. Thank you for a good talk. I have two questions.
Yeah.
First, how long did it take you to plan out this drama of who says what? And second, did this project affect any kind of change? Did you get the politicians to actually meet up and discuss the issues that you wanted them to discuss?
The first, oh, do you want to?
Okay. You can answer the first one.
Okay. We were searching for the concept for a long time, because when we got the opportunity to use the SMS.
Oh, I see. We're off.
Are you calling me?
After the talk.
You are kidding me. Are you calling me? I got your number. I will no, you will see. Okay. Since the moment we revealed the possibility to use numbers and to use the SMS spoofing in like wide action in one time, one place, we were fascinated with that, and we also were thinking about how to use it. And one of possibilities was that we wanted to influence getting some acceptation of some new laws and so on. But finally, it crystallized after a long time into the moral reform concept. And we were not in a hurry. We wanted to have the concept well prepared and so on. But then the opportunity of the parliamentary speech of the MP who was arrested came. We knew that this is the right one opportunity we have to use, and we have to try to do it. So then we had like limited time of one month, when we had to really work hard on all the techniques, background and so on, and also the text messages and things like that. So it was like 1 month of very intensive work and about 1 year of thinking about it and searching for the contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, what is very important to say is that it was not an ordinary hearing, so there were a lot of people who were actually watching the live stream. So people don't usually watch broadcasts from the parliament, but this one was special, so we tried to use that. And you asked if we achieved what we wanted to achieve. Well, if you go through the messages, they're very apolitical. They're not saying that please do this type of reform or something like that. So it's basically just saying be better and some kind of naive things, and I don't think that the politicians got better. And what's also very, very interesting is that they never wanted to discuss the content. So when the politicians were talking to the media, they basically said that we received some fake text message from this colleague or that colleague, but they never or very rarely said what the content was.
How it's possible that the operators allow and don't have secure gates, that it's possible to send SMS spoofing and so on. And these issues were the main one, but the content was not.
So unfortunately, the content of these text messages was probably the most important, but politicians completely ignored it, unfortunately. So. And we, as Juraj said, we tried to send text messages, very positive text messages. And that was also a reason that it's quite complicated or difficult to sue us when we just send very positive messages to all people.
Yeah, it's I would really want to see a politician who would sue someone over saying, oh, let's be better and work for the people or stuff like that. So it was very naive and positive.
Because we were thinking also about sending something completely different, maybe not so positive text messages.
Destructive.
Destructive. Influencing some voting or something. Because this is how the politicians communicate. So there's like head of political parties or clubs of the political parties in the parliament, and they communicate how they coordinate how to vote and so on. So that was one option, but we really wanted to stay on the positive side, basically.
Number four. Four.
I get back to the project of the mixed ID card identities. What I see on this project that now when you are applying for ID card, they photograph you at that point. So basically, what I see as outcome of your maybe they would do it anyway, but it could be seen that from your project they just improved their processes. So, and do you think it is a good thing or not? This, if you didn't reveal that you are using these mixed identities, it would be like nice project, and the authorities would not would not improve their processes, which I don't think that it is a good thing.
I also don't think that it's a good thing to improve the processes of identification and this paperwork and state bureaucracy. But actually, there's a common format for national ID cards in the EU, especially in the Schengen area. So they were actually working on deploying these new things. So it's basically just grasping an opportunity to try it out. They would do it anyway, for sure. Actually, we too are not citizens of Czech Republic, so we had the funny, nice new European ID card anyway. Yeah. So,
back to your questions. Personally, I'm also not a fan of national IDs, but this Hagen Citizen K, it was possible thanks to the fact that in Czech Republic in that time, when you ask for a new national ID, you just bring your own photo.
Yeah.
And officer just takes this photo and use it, but it's not possible anymore in Czech Republic and also in Slovakia, because now we use official European national ID format. So the photo is taken at the place when you ask for this national ID.
But it's also a very interesting part is the verification process. So if you have two people and you merge their facial features into one photo. You mean like, is an ordinary, I don't know, officer at the police station or at the social security office or anywhere, how they are supposed to know that, okay, maybe I just gained some weight or I'm a little bit thinner or something like that. It's really not a good identification of a person. And also, I like to think about it in this way, that very often you, when you communicate with the state bureaucracy and a system, they actually don't see you. So you're basically a body that's bringing the primary key to their database, and the link of the body and the primary key is very weak. So it raised more questions than answers, I believe.
Three.
Nice project, but isn't the effort gone to spoofing SMS IDs a bit wasted? I mean, surely politicians in opposing parties don't have each other's mobile numbers, and certainly journalists are possibly unlikely to have the president's number, so it would just look like a random text from a stranger.
I think your assumptions are very wrong. Yeah. They do have numbers of politicians from opposing parties, and journalists have numbers of, because these are the journalists that are covering the politics. So when they want to ask member of parliament or the office of the president something, they can just text them. So they have, I think your assumptions are wrong in this. So
that's quite positive.
So politicians in Czech Republic and Slovak Republic in parliament, they know each other on the personal level very well, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for questions. And there's just an interesting point. There came a message. I received a message from a number ending with 666. And there is a great talk. Thanks a lot. And we thank you too for this.
Thank you very much.
There was a question in the microphone four.
Ah, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Hi, thanks for your talk. Just real quick, do you think your targets realized they were spoofed? Do you think the politicians realized the messages were fake during
very
the...
Soon. Very soon.
Very soon? How long did it take?
I remember one interview with the Prime Minister, Petr Nečas, who told, I was receiving strange messages, but once I received the message from my Ministry of Financials, who is calling me to more reform, I suddenly realized that this cannot be true. And this must be some fake. So,
and actually,
yeah, but we are now working on a short movie from this section, and we had our fellows write in the parliamentary room where all it happened. And we were on the phone with him, so he was target focusing with the camera, always the part where we were sending the messages. And there are wonderful moments where all the MPs come together and showing each other what they received, and they are absolutely like confused from it. Yeah. So yeah, you will see in the future. You can follow us on our websites, or on Facebook. And you will get the news. Yeah,
so unfortunately, politicians do not receive positive text messages so often. So they were able. So thanks to this, they were able to reveal it very soon.
But if you watch the recording, actually, there's a point when they start to whisper and they stop listening to the guy talking, and they're just concerned with their phones. And we were thinking about this, like, how should we make it difficult for them to realize that it's fake? But it was very difficult because there's no like official seating in the parliament. So sometimes one guy was sitting and received a text from the guy sitting next to him. So they just showed the phone and they realized that that's not the case. So
probably one last thing I forgot to mention is that as you right told us. We just exchange mobile credit for anonymous text messages. In these days, it's also possible to order any services from the internet using prepaid anonymous cards. For example, if you go to Austria, in Austria there is a special prepaid MasterCard anonymous card called Cash for Web, and when you top up this, so you are able to buy this car with the credit 150 euros, and you can use it completely anonymously when you want to pay for any online services.
Yeah, but we prefer Bitcoin-based solutions, of course.
Yeah. We prefer Bitcoin.
Oh, by the way, if you have some Bitcoins that you don't like or like us, you can donate Bitcoins to us on Stohoven for other cool projects.
Yeah, we wanted to encourage our fans and followers to care about Bitcoins, to get an interest with it and try how it works and so on, because in Czech Republic it is not very well articulated, and the media already starting to pay attention to these issues. Already the rest of the world is living with this for moreover than 2 years. Then in Czech Republic it's a new theme, so we want to encourage
but
our fans.
Only Bitcoin talk on CCC was from a Czech guy.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. It was a big pleasure for us. Thank you.
Oh, this is great.
Thank you.
Congratulations.